Grab a seat. All right. So, welcome everyone this morning to this last Sunday in June. I know we like to be kind of a chatty group and stuff, but that's why we get to hang out afterwards and a little Q&A and some refreshments and things like that. So it's a good thing. I appreciate that about you all, about this church. So one of the things that I think is often kind of true about sort of summer, it's like a little bit of a lull. I think attendance at church is going to be probably fluctuating a little bit and stuff. But one of the things that's often very true about summer is like having these summer blockbuster movies that come out, right? I mean, I don't know if you're movie watchers at all. I love movies. I'm not a big TV watcher at all. I do like my sports. I got to give one more shout out to the Warriors. It's only been a couple weeks, so I just gotta make that plug and stuff. I like my sports, I'm not a big TV watcher, but movies, I love movies. I love superhero movies in particular. I've seen all those Marvel movies, if you're familiar with the whole the Marvel universe and all these different movies that are all interwoven together and stuff. I really enjoy those movies a lot. Just a couple weeks ago, I went to see Wonder Woman. So if you're not familiar with Wonder Woman, great film. I'm gonna be actually interweaving this morning's message about this whole Wonder Woman story. If you've not seen it, there's going to be a little bit of a spoiler alert here and stuff. But one of the things that last year, talking about these superhero movies that came out was Batman versus Superman. Now, if you don't relate to this, just bear with me and stuff, because I know not everybody's either movie watchers or superhero movie watchers in particular, but I like them, so I get to talk about them this morning. But last year, Superman versus Batman came out, and I remember it's sort of the new DC kind of films that are coming out compared to the Marvel ones. And if you know anything about superheroes, like Superman, he's kind of like at the top of the superhero food chain. I mean, people know Superman. He's been around for, I don't even know the history of how he was, he kind of came about and stuff. But that whole story of Superman is very compelling. Perhaps you're familiar with the basic story of it, where you have this baby that comes from up in the heavens. He's sent by his father to Earth, and he ultimately, he's raised by these good earthly parents who, kind of in a small little town before he hits about 30, and then he kind of steps out and he sort of has his, makes his purpose and his kind of, his destiny known to the world. Sound kind of familiar? Sound a little bit like Jesus? Well, we are talking about Superman here. So we'll talk about Jesus momentarily. So just bear with me here and stuff. But in that particular film, there's this one really kind of show-stealing scene where Wonder Woman, she gets introduced and she comes in here and like Batman and Superman are fighting this creature and whatever. And so she comes in here and she puts out her shield and she like totally saves Superman and Batman. And they look at each other like, is she with you? Is she with you? I thought she was with you. And so they don't even know who she is. And so just a couple weeks ago, Wonder Woman came out with her own backstory film. It's gotten very positive reviews and stuff. And, I think one of the things with all these, superhero films is that, a lot of the male testosterone kind of gets a little tiring. They're just, there's like all these boy superheroes and stuff. And so that's why I really, I think most of you know that I have three daughters, and so I'm very much about empowering women. I just want to really, just take them to go see a film that's really showing, woman on the big screen that's, this strong character and stuff. So we went to see it just a couple weeks ago, I think on opening weekend, my wife and two of my girls, and we just really enjoyed it a lot. And so a lot of things about this story in particular, is that, there's really a story, there's really a message in this particular film, I feel like that I want to share this morning, with you all. And really, it has to do with this calling that we all have to be a mission community that's out to save the world. I mean, Wonder Woman saves the world, and I'll kind of share a few little plot lines in this morning's message, but really, that's our calling as believers, as churchgoers, as people who really, want to see, what does it look like for us to really be engaged in the world, around us? And, not as superheroes, but even just one soul at a time. What does it look like for us to really be engaging in that way? So I want to invite you to pray with me as we delve into this morning's message and see what God has to say to us this morning. So let's pray. So Lord, I thank you for this morning, God. I just thank you for this congregation, Lord, and for this group of people, Lord, that are just desiring you, Lord, in just every different way and capacity, Lord, that we have to engage with you. And I just pray, Lord, that you would be speaking to us this morning, even just what it looks like for us to be engaging in the world around us, Lord, as a missional community, God. And I just thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, God, for even just this message and the story of Acts that we're going to be looking at, a couple passages in Acts 1 and 2, God. And I just pray that you would speak to us through your word and through this message, God. I just pray that you give us eyes to see and ears to hear your word this morning. In Christ's precious and holy name, and all of God's people said, amen. So, you know, I think even though I appreciate the sheer entertainment value of films and movies and stuff, I think maybe because I'm as a Christian or as a pastor, I really do like to try to find God in films in different ways. I mean, some films are particularly conducive to this in different ways. I think some of the films that come to mind in recent memory, some of you might remember The Matrix, maybe like more than that actually, but a number of years ago, or people were theologizing like, oh yeah, you know, this Christ figure and all these different pieces and stuff. So some films are very much, very conducive to that, whether the producers and directors are intentional about that. But I think even like Christians, you can kind of read Christian blogs and sort of reviews and commentaries and stuff about certain films. And I started doing that with a little bit of with Wonder Woman. And when I watched the film, I thought, you know, like, here's a strong person who's the strong woman character who's trying to save the world. So the immediate thing as I watched this was like, oh, she's like this strong female Christ figure. Now, I don't want that to sound heretical, so just bear with me. But it was just something that just was very compelling about her story. And so I'm just going to give you a little bit of the background of who she is. And if you've seen the film, then you might be familiar with this. If not, then you'll get a little bit of the backstory. So Wonder Woman, she's actually not referred to as Wonder Woman in the film. She's Diana. She's a princess from this island called Themyscira. And it's like this idyllic island that's really kind of hidden from the rest of the world. So basically, the island is hidden from the rest of the world, but she herself, you know, she's growing up and she's like the only child in this whole island that's all women, these Amazon women who are like warriors, and they're, you know, they have these instincts to really fight, but, you know, they're really trying to protect themselves from what's around them. And she herself, Wonder Woman or Diana, she has this really deep sense of compassion and this innate desire to make some difference in the world. She doesn't know what's out there yet in the world, but there's something that she, you know, she has compassion for what she sees, and that's kind of really how the story develops, is that she begins to step out in the world and she sees some things and she's like, you know, I want to make a difference in the world. And I think even that message alone is really something that would be relevant for us. The fact that, you know, like, I think we all have some sense of like, you know, how can I make a difference in this world around me? I mean, we look around, we watch the news, and we just take in all these different things, and we just say, like, how can I even possibly make any difference in this world? There's so many things that are going on around the world, and it's like, you know, I just feel so insignificant. I mean, I don't know about you, but I mean, I feel that way often. I just feel like whether it's kind of terrorism, a war, or politics, or whatever the case may be. And so, you know, so here's, you know, Diana, Wonder Woman, and she's, and basically her mother, who's the queen, she's really trying to protect her and shelter her from these, you know, what's out there in the world of men, they say. And so as she grows up in this hidden life on Themyscira, you know, she's compelled, it's this beautiful place, and you see these images of like, you know, it's kind of like this Hawaiian, you know, like this island and all these waterfalls. It's like, why would anybody want to be exposed to all the craziness out there in the rest of the world? And so, you know, it's conflict free and just, it's like a perfect place. Until all of a sudden, the world comes crashing in quite literally. There's an airplane crashes into, like, goes through this sort of shield that kind of protects the island. All of a sudden, you know, there's this revelation, like, there's something else going on in the rest of the world around them. And so she meets a character who's a World War I pilot, and he reveals to her that there's all this stuff going on. There's a World War II is being fought out there. And so even though I think, you know, Wonder Woman does possess some kind of Christ-like empathy and these characteristics, you know, she has a sacred duty to defend the world, really where her character then begins to kind of stray significantly from the narrative of Jesus' own life is, you know, is that her mother doesn't want her to go and engage with the world. She wants to protect her ultimately. And so she says, you know, who will I be if I stay here on this island, you know, before she leaves to fight in the world? Fight in World War I. And really her goal and her plan is really to defeat Ares, who's the god of war. And he's the influencer of like the world. Why the world is so evil and stuff is because if I can just kill Ares, he's the one that's influencing everybody, and then everything will be perfect again. This sort of notion of kind of returning to Eden, with Ares' death. And so, you know, as she steps out, you know, she begins to learn more about sort of the inherent kind of sinful nature of humanity. in a lot of ways. You know, she begins to see that there is really good and evil that reside in the world once she's out there. And really, in a lot of ways, when we think about the Christian faith, you know, that's really what makes the Christian faith unique, is that there is evil in the world, but there's also our own sinful state, and which is why we need a Savior, which is why we need Jesus to bridge that gap between us and God. It's not about defeating and vanquishing Ares, the god of war, but it's really about us needing a Savior. In fact, Christianity's Today's review about the film says, you know, says this about her. It says, her urge to act is as much part of her identity as her hard-won battle skills. She's an Amazon warrior who can outfight any man, whether Superman or human. And that's what they say about her. And I guess, you know, my question to you is, you know, to what degree do you have the sense of, like, you know, an urge to act? You know, when you think about and read the newspaper, watch the news and stuff, how much do you feel like, you know, like, can I make a difference in the world? Can we make a difference in the world as a church, as an individual? And I think there's something that's very compelling about this, about hero figures for us that, you know, that do just that. They have this urge to act, but they also wind up going and saving the world. And we're like, oh, you know, that's what superheroes can do. And what about us? You know, it plays out in all these superhero films. And yet we may not necessarily as easily see kind of the superhero nature of like Christ and just Christ's own way that he saved the world, you know, from our own sinful and broken state. But not simply that, you know, I mean, Jesus functioned not as a superhero that just kind of charged ahead and just hoped that people would follow him and stuff, but he brought along people. He raised up 12 disciples to say, you know, you're going to be the ones that are going to be participating in my broader mission to the world, to change the world. And so I think what's very compelling about the way God has approached, you know, his whole salvation story is that he brings us alongside. He wants us to participate in what he's doing in the world. And Jesus was very intentional when he raised up and used others. And really, that's the message for us this morning, that he raises us up and he uses us to be part of that missional community to save the world and to be engaged in the world. And that we're ultimately part of something that's bigger than ourselves. Now, at the end of the day, you know, the whole Wonder Woman story, I mean, as super cool and tough as she is, you know, she's ultimately not a Christ figure. So just to kind of point that out, the obvious and stuff, you know, you can find online Christian posts that theologize some of this. But because for Jesus, you know, he never meant to do it alone. You know, Jesus was God made flesh, and Wonder Woman, meanwhile, she's this demigod who charges ahead on her own. And so what we see in Jesus' life, you know, in his public ministry, you know, which culminates with his ascension in Acts 1, is that we see his final words to his disciples in Acts 1:8. It says, you know, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And again, this is in Acts 1:8. He says, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to all the ends of the earth. And so those are Jesus' final words to his followers after he goes off and he's ascends up into heaven. So these are his closing words to them. And the way in which Jesus lived out his public ministry on earth, you know, he gathered this group of 12 disciples, and they were going to be the ones that are going to partner with him in his mission to the world. And so here he's saying, you know, you're going to be the ones that are going to go out as witnesses to these different places, starting with your immediate local community, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Because, you know, when Jesus' close-knit community scattered at his death, you know, he brought them back for these 40 years before he says these words, the 40 days, he brought them back together, and he's teaching them, he's helping them to connect the dots with what those 3 years were all about, because they spent 3 years together, and then Jesus died, was crucified, and died and rose from the dead, and all of a sudden they're like, you know, well, we're trying to make sense of what this whole life was all about, these 3 years, and so he begins to kind of bring things together for them. And, you know, what makes Jesus the ultimate superhero is that he can't, nor does he want to do it alone. That's not the way God intended for Jesus to approach all this. You know, and for Jesus, his purpose was really to be establishing a missional community that would change and save the world. And so, what again are Jesus' final words? He says, you are to be my witnesses. My witnesses. And let's look at that word for a moment. What's interesting about the word witness is that in the Greek, the word actually comes from the word martus, and if you can kind of recognize some of those letters there, but basically witness comes from the Greek martus, which, you know, virtually every English translation actually just translates that particular word martus as witness. You will be my witnesses to the ends of the world. But the word's origin actually comes from another word, which is martyr. And so if you imagine for a moment, if you kind of insert that word and say, you're going to be my martyrs to the ends of the earth, from Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, to the ends of the earth. It's like, that's not a very compelling message. Like, wow, we have to be martyrs for you, God? or Jesus. And I think that's, you know, there's probably reasons why, you know, translations were saying, well, let's use kind of a little bit more of a word that's a little bit more palatable, like witnesses. But essentially, Jesus was saying, you are going to be my martyrs in these places. And for Jesus' friends, his disciples, his apostles, his missional community, they knew what was in store. You know, when they were with Jesus and he said that to them, he says, you know, they knew what was in store. For them, they had this sense of urgency, like they knew that Jesus was going to be coming back. And for most of them and for the early church in those first, you know, few decades, they thought Jesus was going to come back in their lifetime. They were convinced of that. So the whole idea of life and death was kind of a fluid thing. They didn't think, well, I got a plan for the future and stuff. They're like, you know, Jesus is coming back, so you might as well just live life boldly in a way that's really going to be just kind of sold out for him. And that's what made the early church so unique, because they were just stepping out and doing things really very boldly. And many of them, and in fact, historically, they say that every single one of Jesus' original 12 disciples, besides Judas Iscariot, who committed suicide, was martyred, with the exception of John, who was exiled to the island of Patmos. So the rest of those 10, they were martyrs for Jesus. Every single one of them. And some of them went off to the ends of the earth. There's tradition has that Bartholomew was martyred in Armenia, Thomas in India, and even according to some tradition that Simon Peter, you know, Jesus' right-hand man, the one whom Jesus said, you know, I'm going to build my church on you. You, Peter, you are the rock. You know, basically, Peter was crucified, but he was crucified with an inverted Latin cross, because according to church theologian Origen, he was martyred upside down. He was crucified upside down because he said, I'm not worthy to be crucified in the same way that my Lord and Savior was. I mean, think about that for a moment. Like, you know, like not only is he crucified and he's dying a martyr's death, he's like, I'm not even worthy to die the way that Jesus did. And so these are the things that these disciples and these apostles did in their lifetime. They were a missional community. And for Jesus, you know, he not only like was important to look at sort of how they died, you know, these original apostles and these church founders, but really how they lived as well. Because what was compelling about this community that they were establishing was that they were living life together. And they were envisioning like that Jesus was going to be coming back. But ultimately, you know, it was really how they lived their life that really was compelling, that was drawing people and growing the church. And with Jesus, who had now ascended, and there was no organizational structure to speak of, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, God really empowered them through the Holy Spirit to then begin to establish a community that was not simply about kind of doing only that outward work of witnessing to all these different places, to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth, but they were also doing the inward work of caring for one another in just in really remarkable ways. Because, you know, friends, as we think about what it means to be in a missional community together, it's really a both and. It means really that we step out and we envision, like, you know, what does it look like for us to be engaged in the world, to draw people to himself, to draw people into our community here at Grace Covenant. But also, what does it look like to sort of have a sense of kind of an inward caring for one another, an inward mission to care for one another? And frankly, often that churches can really lean towards one or the other. You can kind of say, well, you know, we got to be in our little holy huddle, we got to care for each other and stuff, and, you know, we're kind of a small church and we're just sort of going to kind of manage and get by and stuff. And then other churches can be very evangelistic and kind of just really focusing on that. But we really need to have both of those things working in tandem together and not lean one towards the other. And one of my favorite passages in Scripture comes out at the end of Acts, and where it kind of gives us this compelling picture of what it looked like that this community, how they were living their lives together, starting in verse 42 in chapter 2 of Acts. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs that were performed by the apostles. And all the believers were together and they had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. And they broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And so this missional group, this missional community of kind of ragamuffin, you know, tax collector and a bunch of fishermen, I mean, these folks were really finding favor with all the people, and they were living this compelling life, and they were leading other people to that same vision. When you think about it, when you hear this passage of the story, you know, I mean, is that compelling to you? Just to envision this sense of what does it look like to live in Christian community in such a way. I mean, do you envision being a missional community that can really be engaging in the world, saving the world in a sense? I mean, being a missional community was something that God really intended from the very beginning, from His creation. You know, God intended for us to be together and to work together, not to be kind of Lone Ranger Christians. Because when you look at even just in Genesis, when God made creation, over and over it says, you know, this was good, this was good, this was good. And the one point where He says this was not good was when He created man and He didn't have a partner. He didn't have somebody to work with. And so then God created a woman out of a man's own flesh. And so that was the one place where it's like, this is not good for man to be alone. And so from the very creation, God intended for us to be in community together. And that's just how God operates that way. You know, we are better together. And, you know, see like Wonder Woman, you know, she charges into battle and just hopes that somebody's going to, you know, that others are going to follow, you know, follow her. And that's just her approach. And as compelling as that is cinematography, you know, wise and stuff, at the end of the day, I'm thankful really that God operates very, very differently. I mean, can I get an amen that God wants to use us? Man, right? I mean, that's how he functions in the world. He's not going to just kind of do it on his own. He wants to draw us into what He's doing in the world. And He wants to build us up as a church community to be a place, you know, where we can grow together with others, that we can build up and support and encourage one another so that we can be a compelling place that does draw other people to Himself. Because, you know, when you think about like all the way that people live their lives out in the world and stuff, I mean, it's like, it's kind of a mixed bag at best. You know, people have all sorts of different issues and different things and stuff. And it's like, you know, you sort of make sense of it in just whatever ways that you can. But you have to have some sense of community and people that you can say, you know, I have people I want to lean on. I have people that I want to go to. I want to have friendships. I want to have people that can encourage me. And the church is really that key place to form community because we all need to have positive influences in our life in a different way. But more so, we also need to just have a place in which we can be that missional community that can go out and can save the world and can impact the world. I mean, that's what the church is all about, friends. And that is the mission of God, to get out of our holy huddle and to get off of the island of Themyscira and go out and step out and go into the world to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Because Grace Covenant, you are that missional community. I want you to hear that this morning. That, you know, we are a community of faith that is impacting each other and that we are, you know, we are doing these we can be involved in the world in different radical ways and stuff. But we also have to keep our eye on the ball that it's not just about kind of ourselves. It has to be like, you know, we have to be able to say, you know, we want to draw people. We want to have an impact on the world around us, whether it's in South City and beyond. And it's something that we do together. You know, we maintain both that inward space of allowing each other to be vulnerable with one another, to speak into each other's lives, to share each other's needs and burdens and different things that go on for one another. I mean, that's one part. But we do so in order that we can be empowered by the Holy Spirit to be part of His mission to save the world. Because we are that missional community. And it's a hallmark that I really see here at this church, you know, that we want to be together with one another. We want to sort of, you know, have that sort of connection with one another. But we also want to be looking outward as well. And, you know, I appreciate, you know, I think that there's people here that, you know, that are very caring for one another, that visit each other, that feed one another. And, you know, we kind of banter often sort of in different ways and stuff to communicate really, I think, a love that really exists here that's very, you know, I mean, I hear that often like among some of you, just like, you know, I love this church. I love just that it really kind of grounds me in some other ways of just in the midst of, you know, other aspects of my life. And so there's something that is really sweet and rich here. And there is that sense of missional community that we want to establish. But we also want to have that outward impact where we recognize that the inward impact on us allows us to step out and move outward. And so I want to share this story as I wrap up here. And it's a poem by an unknown monk. It's called, I Wanted to Change the World. And I think it resonates with, you know, some of this message and stuff because, you know, we want to have an impact in the world. But it goes like this. This is, when I was a young man, I wanted to change the world. I found that it was difficult to change the world, so I tried to change my nation. When I found that I couldn't change the nation, I began to focus on my town. And I couldn't change the town, and as an older man, I tried to change my family. But now as an older man, I realize that the only thing that I can change is myself. And I suddenly realize that if long ago, if I had changed myself, I could have made an impact on my family. My family and I could have made an impact on our town. That their impact could have changed the nation, and we indeed could have changed the world. Because friends, you know, God is calling us to change the world. God's purpose is to save the world. I mean, God's heart breaks for the world around us. But does ours? I mean, to what degree does our heart break for the world around us? And that's a question that we need to be asking ourselves. And, you know, bringing things back around full circle to Wonder Woman, the film ends with this, you know, I think it was a pretty profound closing kind of statement. So she says at the end, she's figures out and she goes and fights in World War I and stuff, and she stays out there and she says, you know, I came to save the world, to end war, to bring peace to mankind. But then I glimpsed the darkness that lives within their light and learned that inside each and every one of them, there will always be both, a choice that each must make for themselves, something that no hero will ever defeat. And now I know that only love can truly save the world. And so I stay and I fight and I give for the world that I know can be. This is my mission, now and forever. And that preaches. I mean, that's our mission as well, honestly. You know, but we don't do it alone. You know, we allow the power of the Holy Spirit to change and to transform us and to change us from the inside out, which is our vision statement. And then we become witnesses to that world around us. And that is our calling. That is your calling. Let's pray. So, Lord, I thank you for this broader calling that you've placed in each and every one of us, Lord. And we thank you, God, for the fact that you've drawn us to yourself in different ways, Lord, and that you're always drawing people to yourself. And yet, Lord, we want to allow our hearts to break for the world around us, Lord. We want to allow our hearts to be recognizing the things that go on around us, Lord, that we can have an impact in different ways, Lord. And sometimes it can feel overwhelming. Sometimes it can feel like, you know, what does that even look like, Lord? So I just pray, God, that you would just be nudging us and speaking to us and prompting us, both individual and as a church community, God, that we can be that missional community that changes and transforms the world, Lord. So I just thank you for this time, Lord, and I thank you for your word and just the compelling vision and the picture of what you did in the early church in Acts, Lord, that it's really just a model and an example of just sort of how we can really live our lives, Lord, in radical ways and be witnesses, be martyrs for you, Lord. So we just thank you, God, for this. In Christ's precious and holy name, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen.